Time to meet the men from the ministry. Join us for another canter down the corridors of power with Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In the General Assistance Department, those tireless executives, Lennox, Brown and Lamb, help any branch of government that's overloaded. Today we find them dealing with queries sent to the Department of Health.
Very strange, some of these letters. Have you seen this one? It's a woman asking for maternity benefits.
Let's have a look. Dear sir, in accordance with your instructions, I have given birth to twins in the enclosed envelope.
Odd business.
Yeah, and listen to this. Dear sir, I have ceased work owing to pregnancy. This is likely to be permanent.
Yes, well, mind you, our letter's nothing to boast about. The one we sent for the forms.
No?
I mean, just look at these misprints, too.
Oh, I see what you mean. It starts, dead sir or madam. And it ends up, yours fitfully.
I don't know, Mildred's typing gets worse and worse.
She's so sullen and slovenly.
Yes, and she never laughs these days. I mean, she didn't even smile yesterday when you caught your nose in the pencil sharpener.
That's true.
Hello, Mildred. You brought our 11s, or should I say our 11/4s?
Oh, that's very witty, yes,
one. Yes. Is that meant to be funny, Mr. Lennox Brown? Look, I know it's late. It just so happens I forgot.
Oh, good grief, Mildred. There's no tea in this pot. It's just hot water.
You always find some little thing to pick on, don't you?
It's all right, Mildred. Don't be so upset. I just mentioned it.
Yes, honestly, we like drinking hot water.
Look, if you're not pleased with me, why don't you get someone else?
Oh, we never dream of getting anyone else, Mildred. You may be a bit thick, but we're used to you.
Now, there's something worrying you, isn't there, Mildred? Yes?
Yes, you're quite right, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I have got something on my mind.
Tell us, then. I mean, think of me as an uncle, my dear. And Mr. Lamb is an auntie.
Oh. How nice.
It's my boyfriend, Bernard. We've had a bit of a do.
Good heavens, he hasn't... I mean, you haven't...
He's found another girl, see? Girl? Huh. Some girl. She's old, sir. She's nearly 23.
Oh, I am sorry, Mildred.
Oh, I blame myself, Mr. Lamb. Bernard wanted to learn Spanish, see? So I let him go to evening school. This girl was in the cake-making class, and one night she offered him a bit.
Well, I'm sure he'll soon see the error of his ways and return to you, my dear.
No way! He's absolutely infiltrated with her. She talks posh, see? She comes from a wealthy home. You know, grapes on the sideboard, even when nobody's ill.
Well, we all have our little personal problems, Mildred, but life must go on, you know. I mean, we can't let that affect our work.
Or our typing.
Did you dispatch that priority memo?
Yes, sir. What memo?
Oh, you remember, the health department asked us to write to all port authorities.
Visitors arriving in Britain have to be examined by doctors.
Quite.
Oh, that, sir. Yes, I sent it off yesterday. There's a copy in your in-tray.
Ah, well done. Yes, here it is. Yep. Yeah. Oh, glory. Another typing error.
No.
Yes. I said visitors must be stripped and examined by doctors. You put must be stripped and examined by dockers.
I hope the permanent undersecretary doesn't find out.
So do I. Sir Gregory could be rather cross.
Let us run, Lamb.
Sir Gregory is rather cross.
Oh, you pair of useless idiots. You blundering nitwits.
And good morning to you, Sir Gregory.
You know what you've done?
Recently, Sir Gregory?
Thanks to your bungling, Britain's docks are in an uproar. All lady passengers coming ashore are being examined by dockers. Well, the New York Girls' Choir are raising the roof at Southampton. They've been in the customs shed for 24 hours.
It was Mildred's slip, I'm afraid, sir. She's been under some stress, you see.
Trying to blame that young girl, eh? Hmm? Well, it won't wash, Lennox Brown. You're the captain of the ship.
Aye, aye, sir.
And this isn't your only blunder. You were supposed to send out forms on how to treat rabies.
Well, we did, sir. Millions of them. We didn't fall down on that one.
You did fall down, man. Another of your blasted misprints. Your form was headed, How to Treat Rabies.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear is right, Lamb. The WAGs had a field day writing things like, you can't treat rabies, they're teetotal. Now, we've had to call all the forms back in again.
Oh, that's unfortunate, sir.
Yes, get on like this and you'll be extremely unfortunate. If there's one more mistake in this office, just one more, you'll both be O-U-T.
Would that mean a golden handshake, sir?
No, Lamb. No, if I had to shake hands with you, it would not be golden. The best you could hope for would be imitation plastic.
I see.
Well, I'm glad you do. Now, remember, both of you, one more slip and your heads will roll.
Not fair one. Both those mistakes were Mildred's fault.
Yes, well, we must do something about that girl, too, before she gets us the sack. I suppose it's natural she's fed up with her boyfriend walking out on her.
I expect she misses the companionship. Yeah. She needs a new chum, someone to talk to.
Yes.
I've got an idea.
Hmm?
Perhaps I can fix something by tomorrow.
Lennox Brown?
Paul Porter here.
Matthews?
Of course it's Matthews. I've been here for 40 years. Who else do you think it is, Lulu?
There's no need to be tetchy with me, Matthews. What can I do for you?
Collect these bundles of forms. They've been pouring in all morning.
Ah, the forms. Yes, yes. We issued them for the health department. It seems there's a tiny error. Sir Gregory is calling them in.
It's nothing to what I'm calling them. I can't move. They're everywhere.
Well, we'll deal with them, Matthews, and that... Oh, he's rung off.
Yes, morning, one. Good news. I found a new chum for Mildred. Someone to take her mind off Bernard.
Really, too? Well done, well done. Who is he?
Mr. Squires from Pensions.
Why, old Soapy Squires?
Hmm.
With the grey mittens and the spats. But he's 62.
Only just. He'll be a nice companion for Mildred. He's got lots of interests. He cultivates plants in his office. I told him Mildred's always in the canteen at 11 and said he should go down and make himself known to her.
Would you blooming Adam and Eve it? I was sitting in the canteen just now and this dirty old man made a pass at me. He said he was a friend of yours, Mr. Lamb.
Old Mr. Squires?
He patted me knee and said he'd like to show me his begonias. He's trying to get off with me, cheeky old devil.
You didn't like him, Mildred?
Well, he won't try that again. I pulled a glass of water down his front. Soon cooled his ardour. Yeah, that's why enough troubles.
Whatever she's looking for, old Squires hasn't got it. Or if he has, he's had it too long.
I thought she was looking for companionship.
Oh, no, no, too. No, she wants more than that. She wants,
Yes?
You know. No, perhaps you don't. The birds and the bees, too. I'll see if I can get Mildred sorted out.
Well, we can't have any more mistakes. Sir Gregory's itching for a chance to sack us.
Well, we've done nothing wrong today, too. So the ghastly old pig's out of luck. Let's have some tea.
Yes.
Let it run.
It's the ghastly. I mean, Sir Gregory. I mean, good morning, sir.
I have a job for you two.
Of course, sir. Yes. Anything?
Well, the hall's full of useless forms, and I've arranged for all other departments to send their waste paper here. You're to collect the lot and arrange for it to be pumped and recycled.
Oh, you want us to collect all Whitehall's waste papers?
Collect it and dispatch it.
Ah.
You'd better order some sound wooden chests to hold the stuff. And no slip-ups, remember.
How can he be so unpleasant?
Constant practice, I suppose. Well, too, you'd better order those wooden chests. Give Mildred an order for the ministry buyers.
How many will we want?
Oh, ask them to supply 10 sound wooden chests.
Right you are, huh?
And I'm going to do something about finding a young man for Mildred.
Yes, we are a dating agency and marriage bureau. Can I help you? Oh, yes, I'm sure we can find you a suitable partner. How do we operate? Well, I take down the client's particulars, and if I approve of what I see, I go into action. Our computer studies the data and produces the perfect match. I must ring off now. I see a client arriving.
Oh, good morning, Miss Pledge.
That's correct. May I help you?
To be quite honest, I'm rather nervous.
I understand.
Yes. It's a matter of some delicacy, madam.
Of course. But please don't worry. We have a large selection of fun-loving, active young ladies who'd be delighted to meet a mature and charming gentleman like yourself.
Now, just a moment, madam. You see, I'm not looking for a young lady. I want to find a young man.
Well, we don't make moral judgments here. Live and let live, I say.
Oh.
I suppose you're from the Foreign Office.
No, madam, no. I think there's been a slight misunderstanding here. No, I'm looking for a young man for my secretary.
Oh, I see. Oh, dear. Well, perhaps you'd give me her particulars.
Yes. Well, Mildred is a fun-loving, active young lady who'd like to meet a charming and intelligent young man. Or, failing that, any other sort of young man. Ah, good news, too. I've heard from the agency. They've found a young man for Mildred.
I'm glad to hear it, Ron. She's worse than ever this morning, just sitting there staring into space with her eyes glazed.
Well, lots of ministry staff do that.
But she's not even painting her nails.
Well, wait till she hears the news. That'll put color in her cheeks. Would you just come in for a moment, Mildred?
You want me, sir?
Yes, Mildred, yes. I've arranged for you to meet a young man today.
I don't want to meet any young men. I hate them.
Mildred, your date is fixed for 12 o'clock. So if you agree to meet him, you can go now and have an extra hour for your lunch break.
Oh, well, perhaps I will go then. Only for your sake.
Good girl. Here's the address. You won't regret it.
Oh, you want a bet? It'll be some spotty kid with big feet and funny habits.
There you are. I knew that'd cheer her up.
Those bundles of forms are still in the hall, man. Old Matthews is furious. He jostled me as I came in today and bent the tip of my brolly.
Well, those wooden chests we ordered should be here soon. Then we can start shifting all the waste paper. The sooner the better.
I say, well, look at the time. It's gone 3:30 and no sign of Mildred.
Oh, she's obviously getting on well with her date.
Supposing your dating agency is a cover for white slavery. She could have been shipped to some den of vice in Brazil or Hong Kong or Shepherd's Bush.
Oh, don't be daft, too. You've been watching too much children's TV.
Mr. Lennox, Brown, how can I thank you? I've met him. The man of my dreams. He's wonderful. He's beautiful.
Mildred, you're all flushed and trembling. Like Mr. Lamb at the office party.
Oh, I'm all of a doodah. Oh, I'm sorry I'm late, but he took me out to lunch, and he gazed into my eyes, and time seemed to lose all meaning. We were floating on a cloud.
He sounds a good sort, Mildred. What's his name?
Tristram. Isn't that romantic?
My landlady's cat's called Tristram. She's just taken him to the vets.
Yeah, too. Let's not spoil the mood.
Look, can I go early, Mr. Lennox Brown? I can't wait to see Tristram again.
Oh, yes, well, perhaps just this once.
Oh, thank you, sir. Love is a many splendid things.
Oh, well, too, I think that's settled that. With a happy Mildred, we shan't see any more typing errors. Lennox Brown.
Oh, Porter here.
What's bothering you now?
You, mostly. There's a lot of stuff arrived for you. 10,000 woolen vests. All grey and hairy.
Well, they can't be for us, Matthews. Of
course they're for you. I've got the invoice here from the Ministry buyers.
Two. Did you send an order to the Ministry buyers last week?
Yes, you asked me to, remember? You said order 10 sound wooden chests.
Good grief. Smelled it shorthand. She must have typed 10,000 woolen vests. They're downstairs. In the hall.
Oh, no.
Now, listen. I want this stuff out of here. Sir Gregory likes this all nice and spick and nice and span.
Oh, Sir Gregory, he mustn't find out about this.
He'll kill us both and then sack us.
You signed that order without reading it. This is your fault.
Now then, you two.
Oh, talk about it. Sir Gregory. Ah, hello, sir. You haven't been down in the front hall by any chance, have you, sir?
No, I've been to see Miss Getty in the stationery stores.
I made her redundant.
Oh, poor Betty Getty.
She overordered paper clips. Oh. She invoiced for 10 boxes when she only needed 9. Wasting government money like that. She's got to go.
Oh, yes, I...
What's the matter with Lamb? He seems quite animated. Nothing wrong here, I hope.
No, sir. No, everything is just as it usually is.
Yes, well, any slip-ups in this office and there'll be 2 more sudden redundancies.
Stop trying to hide under the carpet, too.
The vests, 10,000 of them. What can we do?
But we'll have to get rid of them, won't we? We'd better start thinking.
HQ 5th Battalion, Brigadier Trenchcoat speaking. What? Well, if Sergeant Brown camouflaged himself as a tree, he's only himself to blame. There are bound to be dogs in the training area. No, of course he can't have sick leave. Mamby-pamby nonsense. Don't they realize it's a man's life in the army? Yes, what is it, Jeremy?
Oh, excuse me, Brigadier. There's a ministry man to see you.
Show him in, and don't bother to wait around. I'm sure you've some camp duties to attend to.
Oh, you're joking, Ducky. With the only going abroad next week, I'm rushed off my tiny feet.
Brigadier Trenchcoat will see you now.
Ah, Brigadier. Very good of you to see me. Thank you. My name's Lennox Brown, and I have a proposition to put to you.
Hello, hello.
That will be all, Captain Manley.
Brigadier, I hear your unit is about to be posted abroad.
What? But that's a military secret. How did you know that?
It was in the evening paper.
Well, destroy that paper at once.
Yes, of course, yes. But I thought you might be going somewhere chilly, where you'd need woolen garments of all kinds.
Well, as a matter of fact, we are going to Bermuda.
Oh, glory.
And Bermuda's very hot.
Yes, very, very hot.
Isn't it?
Is it?
Well, it is. Or, is it?
Ah, well, not necessarily, Brigadier.
No?
No. The climate's very changeable these days. There's a lot of weather about.
To be quite frank, Lennox Brown, I'm not quite sure where Bermuda is. Lost our map, do you see?
Yes. Well, now, I think I can help you there, sir.
Yes?
Yes. Bermuda, in fact, is in the, north.
North?
Northwest.
Oh.
Yes, and the climate there can be all very cold.
It can be damned freezing in Bermuda. Everyone knows that.
Yes, well, now, my department can supply your men with a large quantity of woolen vests on very reasonable terms.
Oh, good idea. Stout woolen vests and trunks, just what's needed. I don't want my chaps catching cold around the barracks.
Now, I'm afraid we haven't any woolen trunks. You see, just the vests.
One's no good without the other, man. We must have the set or there's no deal.
I see. Well, I'll get hold of an equal number of woolen trunks then and let you have vests and trunks in a couple of days.
Excellent, excellent.
Yes.
Tristan's ever so good looking, sir. Would you like to see his photo?
Oh, not... thank you.
Isn't he handsome?
Yes. He's a sort of cross between Omar Sharif and the Prime Minister.
Look, I'll make you a nice cup of tea.
Oh, thank you.
Afternoon, too. Hello, Mildred.
Hello, sir. You look very cheerful.
Well, too, while you've been lolling in the office, I've solved our little problem.
I haven't been lolling one. I got rid of those vests, all 10,000 of them.
It was just a matter... What was that?
I knew you'd be surprised. I gave them away to a man who stuffs cushions. I saw his advert in the paper saying, I want stuffing.
You've given the vests away?
Yes.
But to be torn up for stuffing cushions? Well, didn't you get something for them?
Oh, yes. The man gave me 3 balloons.
3 balloons?
Well, 4, actually, but one burst on the way back.
But what about money?
You didn't mention money.
I've just ordered 10,000 pairs of woolen trunks to go with the vests, so the army would buy the lot.
Sorry, man.
We've wasted government money. We've promised the army underwear they can't have. And thousands of woolen trunks will shortly be delivered to the front hall.
Couldn't we cancel the order for the trunks?
Nonsense, too. Oh. I've got it.
Yes?
I've got it. We can cancel the order for the trunks. Yes, get Mildred to type an amendment form.
An amendment form?
And take it to the ministry buyers right away.
Where are you going?
to tell the brigadier he's lost his underwear. Now, get Mildred moving. The ministry buyers go home at 5 o'clock.
Don't worry. The order will be nullified by 5.
I had a job talking the brigadier out of his undergarments, I can tell you. I finally persuaded him Bermuda had drifted south and all the snow had melted.
Mildred got to the ministry buyers by 5, so the trunks order is nullified.
Good, good. But where is Mildred? Since she met that Tristram fella, she's never in the office.
Morning, sir. Sorry, I'm a bit late.
A bit late? It's nearly midday, Mildred. Since you met this boy, you arrive late, you go early, and when you're here, your head's in the clouds.
Well, some people are never pleased. It's better to have me happy, isn't it? And when there's something urgent, I'll move like the clappers, don't I?
Well, I suppose so.
Suppose so? Last night I dashed over to the ministry buyer, didn't I, with that amendment. Got your order multiplied by 5.
Oh, yes, you did very well there, Mildred. But... what did you say?
I got your order multiplied by 5, like you see.
Multiplied? It was supposed to be nullified.
Good heavens, man. That means we'll have 50,000 pairs of woolen trunks.
Bought with government money. Oh, Sir Gregory will murder us too. And you, Mildred?
Well, I'll be all right, sir. Tristram and I are thinking of starting a new life in Australia. Oh, we might even go abroad. Oh, there's my phone. That'll be Tristram now.
50,000 pairs of woolly underpants. What will Sir Gregory say?
He'll say we've exceeded our briefs.
And not only that, we still haven't got the chests he asked for to hold all the waste paper.
Oh, perhaps we could emigrate to Australia and save a lot of bloodshed.
That's that, then.
What is Mildred?
Tristram. He rang to say he's going away with another woman.
Abroad?
She sounds like one.
Mildred, calm yourself. Now, calm yourself. If you ask me, you're well rid of him.
You don't care. You don't appreciate me anyway. Put me down over every little mistake. I've had enough. I'm going to end it all.
Don't open the window, Mildred. It's chilly today.
Good grief. Two. She's climbing out of the window.
You mean, Mildred, come back.
It's too late now. Goodbye, world.
No.
Two. She's going to jump. Get out there and stop her.
Why me?
Because you're the junior, that's why.
All right, but pass my bowler hat. It's cold out there.
And here is the news, read by Brian Martin. First, a window-ledge drama in Whitehall. Crowds gathered outside a ministry building this afternoon when a secretary was seen to climb out onto a fifth-floor parapet. She was followed by a tall, bowler-hatted man who crawled along the ledge on his hands and knees. But the girl seemed to change her mind and return to her office by another window. The man then started waving his arms about, apparently to ward off pigeons, which were trying to settle on his chest. He was soon joined by a second bowler-hatted man, who lashed at the birds with an umbrella, but in doing so struck the first man a nasty blow, causing him to lose his balance. Luckily, his companion grabbed at his trousers and held him by the pediment. The second man then climbed back through a window, but his colleague was unable to follow as his bowler hat was now jammed over his eyes. At this point, the secretary reappeared and guided him safely back through the window. A ministry spokesman, Mr. Lennox Brown, later said this was a demonstration of civil service fire drill. When asked if the man had vertigo, he said he could have gone down about 90 feet.
Well, it's back to old times now. Bernard and me are together again.
No, that is nice.
Yeah, he realised he couldn't let me go. He says when he looked at me up there on the ledge, he suddenly saw me from a new angle.
Well, that's your problem sorted out. Wish we could solve ours.
You're still lumbered with 50,000 woolen trunks.
Well, they haven't arrived yet, Mildred, but nothing can stop them now.
Hello, Lennox Brown here.
And all port are here. There's a fleet of lorries outside, and they're offloading 50,000 wooden trunks.
Oh, well, the thing about...
Wooden trunks?
Yeah, wooden trunks. They're filling the hall and covering the front steps. The minister had to climb in through a downstairs window.
I see.
Is something wrong?
You could say that, too. Mm-hmm. We were told to get chests for the waste paper, weren't we? But instead of chests, we got vests. We ordered woolen trunks to go with the vests, but then we didn't need them, so we tried to cancel the order and instead multiplied it by five.
All straightforward so far, one.
Well, now it seems there was another tiny typing error. Instead of woolen trunks, we've got wooden trunks. 50,000 of them.
We've not done well, have we?
Yes, you have, sir.
What?
Look, Sir Gregory told you to get wooden chests, didn't he?
Yes, yes, that's right.
And after all that mucking about, you got wooden trunks, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, it's the same blooming thing, isn't it? You've accidentally got what you were supposed to get.
By Jove, Mildred's right. Yes. Wooden chests and wooden trunks are the same thing.
So Sir Gregory won't be cross with us.
Except he did ask us to get 10. Said they got 50,000.
What can I say, Lennox Brown?
Oh.
Clever of you to spot that 10 boxes wouldn't be enough. The ministries have produced far more waste paper than expected. We need all the boxes we can get.
So we're not redundant?
Redundant? My dear chap, of course not. We need men of your caliber.
Oh, thank you, sir.
For the time being. Have a touch of the old thing.
Muddling through as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.